Welcome to Working Out God. This is Toy in here.
Hi, this is Beulah.
We're so excited to have you guys here today with us as we start and exploring some of the big faith questions that we wrestle with. So we decided to start with the will of God. And I guess the reason we decided on this topic was it is one of the biggest questions, apparently, that all Christians ask, like, what is the will of God for me? So we thought it would be a great place to start just to explore how we understand the will of God in our everyday lives, and just kind of chat through our experience with it.
Absolutely. And I think what we want to put out there is a disclaimer, right? So we're not trying to share biblical doctrine. We are definitely not trying to be too scholarly about this. And we are no experts around, theology. We're not theologians, and we don't profess to be one. But it is a topic that, we have talked about. And it's definitely a topic that's played a huge part of my walk and my Christian walk. And I remember listening to to our senior pastor probably a good 20 years ago when I'd started going to this particular church. And he, during this memorable service, the pastor said that for him, the number one question that he is asked by any member of the congregation is, what is God's will for my life? Like, why am I here? Why are we here? And this is a question that I constantly ask myself on a daily, weekly basis. And he went on then to share his experience that he had personally had never asked God this question, and that he shared that his journey could be summed up by that he simply walked through any door that was open to him. He served, worked it out, and then waited in that space where he was until another door opened, and walked through that and so forth. And that is how he ended up becoming, the senior leader of a ministry that was global. And he was responsible for, over, I think hundreds or, definitely tens of, in the tens numbers across the UK and Europe. And for me, Torian, in each decade of my life and in different seasons of my life, I've asked that very similar question, like, God, what is your will? Is this your will? Is this it? Or is there more? Mm. And I've personally attached the will of God to my vocation. And when we were, brainstorming for this topic, I mean, you said something really interesting that completely blew my interpretation of this question, because I had always attached it to my vocation, my career, my why I'm here. But you have a completely different take on this, so it's your turn to share your thoughts.
Because it was interesting, I guess, the first conversation we had, and we were like, okay, so what is the will of God? And I had to pause for a second and think about how all the times in my life that I'd really been asking this question, and I realized that I didn't really have a lot to say on that front. And I think it's, when I think about it in terms of my vocation, I think I've had a lot of different passions. And I think growing up, there was a lot of different ideas of things that I was either like naturally kind of gifted at or things I was really passionate about when it came to, I guess, vocationary work. So I kind of explored a few different avenues, but I had always felt like I was in the will of God and that he would just open the right doors. And then if a door didn't open, I'm like, oh, okay, well, it wasn't that. And then I'd kind of just like shift gears. So I think I hadn't really attached it to a specific kind of vocation, because even what I'm doing now is not what I expected to be doing like 10 years ago. Like, I really did think I was going to end up in like the fashion world or something like that. And now I'm in finance, which was something I was doing at the time, I guess, as well. But it was just something that wasn't, I didn't really link the will of God, I guess, to the vocation, but more so that, like, just following the open doors, essentially. Kind of similar to, like, what the pastor was saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, if the door was shut, I was like, okay, I think that's probably actually the point when I would ask, oh, maybe this is not the will of God, or is this not the will of God? So I think I probably asked, like, the opposite. opposite question at those points and be like, okay, maybe this is not the right direction, and let me just reflect and see, you know, where God's leading me to actually go to next.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess that's kind of my experience around.
Can I? I'm not flipping this and like interviewing you now. But can I ask, in those moments where you thought, okay, I'd probably be in the creative industry, fashion, and that is your passion. When that door closed, or that door maybe didn't open further onto the next doors, and then other doors were opening up, I mean, were you quite resistant to that? Was there a bit of a wrestle for you? Have you always just gone with the doors opening and just taken those steps forward? Like, how have you processed that, you know, your passion versus, okay, what's going on here? This door isn't opening, but another door's opening. How have you worked that out?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always been an internal wrestle, but I think on the outside, probably if anyone was to look, they'd be like, you're just following the open doors. And I do feel like I would take the steps. So if the door opened, like, I would walk through, maybe grudgingly.
God is literally pulling you through, dragging your feet.
Me, kicking and screaming. But I felt like I would still go with that open door, but internally I'd be like, no, I feel like this is not what it is. And I'd really wrestled with that. And it's really funny because I think I was very anti being in finance, like when I first graduated from uni over a decade ago. And weirdly now I actually really love it, which is actually really funny because I just felt like this surely isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, for a long period of time. So it is interesting, but I would definitely say that I did still step through the open doors, but whether I actually wanted to or not, that's a completely different thing.
Sure. Well, you're honest about that, and that is the wrestle that each and every one of us, you know, believers and non-believers alike are constantly wrestling with, right, on a daily basis. Yeah. So can I ask, because there are some people that I've met along the way who've, so I've got a really good friend of mine actually, from a really young age, going back to the will of God being around your vocation or your career as an example, she was very clear that she wanted to be a lawyer. Like, she knew that she wanted to be a lawyer right from kind of primary school age. And it's really interesting because, you know, I've got a teenage son and we've recently had a parent consultation meeting, and every single teacher has asked him, you know, what are you going to do with your life? What do you want to be? And I'm sitting there thinking, he's only 13. Like, come on, you know, like, why does he need to know everything? And I guess there are people out there who have visions or dreams, or maybe someone has given them a prophecy, or they feel really deeply inclined that, you know, they're going to grow up and they're going to be a doctor or they're going to be a singer. Has that been the case for you? Have you had any dreams or visions quite early on that has helped you stay the path and navigate the different shifting gears in life?
I actually have. I felt like I was kind of given very clear vision from God, like, many years ago. Again, I think about over a decade ago as well. But that vision was more like a purpose or like a calling, and it wasn't necessarily, like, essentially any vocation could get you to that point, if that makes sense. And perhaps maybe that's why I didn't really attach, I guess, my vocation and the will of God together as much, because I felt like what God wants me to do and what the plan, not the plan, but like what the vision is, I guess. And there isn't really a specific career path that is like, this is the path. So I haven't actually ever been really overly attached personally to any specific career. Like, even now in my current career, I would say that, like, if I felt like God was prompting me to go somewhere else, I probably would do it. Like, I would probably be open to it. I'm not as attached to it, even though now I actually do really quite enjoy it.
Sure.
So I think because the vision wasn't really specifically linked with their vocation, maybe that has helped to kind of be more like able to kind of just walk through the doors that open and essentially just figure out along the way where God's leading me next.
So
I think that's what I would say about that.
Amazing. What I wanted to share actually with some of our listeners is that I recently, you know, came across a book and it's called Relentless Pursuit. And in there, there's the singer Natalie Grant. And she shared something in there which actually has summed up now at this stage of my life, my own thought process, you know, on the will of God and how it's been for a little while. So I'm just going to kind of read it straight from the book. And she says, you know, growing up, I had an understanding that the will of God was this huge mystical thing. And I thought that if I took one wrong step to the right or to the left, I might be out of the will of God. And so when she then goes on to talk about that, you know, she was trying to, you know, pursue her her singing career, and she'd gone and was signed up by one record label, and then that went out of business, and then the second record label then went out of business, and then she went and, you know, became a teacher for a little while as well. And then she carries on in the book to say that she thought, you know, wait, how could I have missed the will of God so badly? And she had thought that she'd like deeply heard his voice, and that, you know, that her career was going to be in music, and that was the will of God for her. And I really welcomed and valued her perspective on this when I was reading this book, because she articulates so perfectly that life isn't about a destination or a chart position, like, or a number one record for her in that sense of it. That's not what God's will is about. You know, God's will is all about the posture of our heart, you know, before him. And, you know, God's will is for us to do all the things that he makes very clear in his word. And I know that we said that we weren't going to go down the route of kind of biblical theology and try and be scholars. But Natalie Grant says in the book that, you know, if we just do his word, you know, which is, you know, be obedient to him, love others, as, you know, and be kind to others and spread the gospel, and there are many mandates and missions that are found in his word, then what she was saying essentially is that we don't actually have to worry about whether God's will for us to, you know, take up a certain job or not, move to a particular city or not, or choose a particular hobby or not. You don't have to fear that you're going to miss out on God's one and only right choice for you, because I guess it goes back to that scripture where it says, you know, he causes all things, you know, to work together for our good. And that's quite comforting, you know, and it was very comforting for me as someone who for the last 25, 30 years of my life has spent so many prayer walks asking God, is this it? What is your will for my life? And actually maybe just letting go and saying, actually, Beulah, there isn't one specific will, just follow me.
It's actually interesting that you were saying that about the one specific will, because I was doing a devotional recently, and basically, like, coming out of that devotional, the author was essentially talking about how, from his perspective, he felt like there was, like, God's desired will and then God's determined will.
Right.
And he kind of explained that, like, his desired will is, like, his personal involvement in our everyday lives. And so essentially that is the will of God for us, is that he is the center of everything that we do. He's involved in every aspect of our daily lives, and his direction, like, we're following his direction in all of our decisions. So that's his, like, desired will, because we do have free will as well. So we have the ability to choose what we're going to do. So that's, like, God's, like, desired will is what he describes. But then he also talks about, like, God's determined will, which is, like, inevitable. Inevitable and like, it's not something that we can control, you know, it's like it's out of our control, and God has a plan. Like, he has a plan. It says in his word that, you know, he does have plans for us.
Yes.
So, so I think he kind of, I guess, splits, I guess, the types of wills by, like, his desired will to be part of our everyday life, which is the part that we can actively be involved in. And then the determined will is what we should just leave in God's hands, essentially, and just let go, and then just be like, you do your thing, you know? So, yeah, I found that, like, a really interesting perspective, because I hadn't really thought about it in that way before, really.
No, that is really, really interesting. Well, I guess, you know, like, our podcast, I mean, the will of God spans so many areas of our life, right? Like choosing a life partner, or, you know, like Natalie Grant was saying, you know, should I leave this country and move somewhere else? You know, all of those things. Yeah. But I guess our podcast is really focused specifically around kind of God and work and God and career and God and industry and the marketplace and everything. So why don't you, I mean, I'll jump in at some point as well, but why don't we share a little bit about your journey up until this point, specifically around your career and coming to peace and kind of enjoying being an accountant now?
Yeah, I guess I would go back in time to, like, being a kid. And I don't know if they do that here, but, like, in Australia, they always have some kind of school day where you dress up as, I don't know if they still do it now, this is a long time ago, but you kind of dress up, they encourage you to dress up as what you want to be when you're older.
Okay.
And just to put it into perspective, what I was kind of discussing before about having, like, multiple passions and things I was interested in, I think I, like, at that time when I was, like, 8, wore, like, a netball outfit because I wanted to be a professional sports player.
Okay.
I had a lab coat on because I wanted to be a doctor on top of that. And then I think there was something else, but basically all that to kind of say that, like, I had multiple interests from a very young age.
Was that and one costume? So netball outfit one plus costume. The lab outfit as well. Okay, great.
And there was something else too. I can't really recall, but I remember there was a 3-piece costume in one because I just had to squeeze it all in there. So, yeah, I think from a very early age, I kind of had a lot of things that I felt like, oh, God's really gifted me with this, or I'm really passionate about this. And then often I'm kind of like, oh, this must be the line that I should go down because God's given me this gift. Then, you know, I want to make use of the gifts that he's given me. So I think everything has kind of evolved over time. So I think all through, like, my childhood, honestly, I actually really wanted to be a doctor, which I don't even know if I've discussed with you yet.
No.
I don't know if I've mentioned that before because it's so far in the past now, but I actually grew up most of my life wanting to be a doctor,
right.
Primarily. I don't know if that's also, like, cultural.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Nigerians love being doctors. So I really did want to be a doctor, but also I actually just felt like I had struggled a bit with my health at times, and I just felt like I wanted to do something that was actually helping people. So as a kid, I felt like, oh, the doctor helps me, so I want to do that. So it was also a lot of that as well. So I kind of went down that path. I ended up in, like, a high school where you essentially, they created this new government initiative, a school where you kind of go in for a day of testing and interviewing, and it was basically to prepare you to go down the medical line. So pretty much everyone that wanted to get into this school basically wanted to be in the medical field at some point. So it was, I went down that whole process, ended up going to this school, and then I was there for the last 2 years of high school. And then by the end, I just really realized that practically speaking, I just, everything about the medical field made me really squeamish. Like, when we had our first, dissection in class, I almost passed out and the teacher was like, just leave, like, just go outside for a second. So practically, I just didn't really enjoy, I guess, the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah.
And I also wasn't really enjoying science, which is quite odd because I come from a big family of science people. Like, everyone's kind of in the science or medical field. So I found it really interesting that I just didn't really, I just couldn't foresee myself doing this for my whole life. So I was actually quite confused, I guess, at that point, because I'd always wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And I'd gone down the whole route. And then now at the end of high school being like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So I literally just like Googled it. What are some good high paying careers?
Thank God for Google. Honest.
And so I ended up in uni, and I think I started in tech, which is something I'm actually still interested in now. I started in tech, a tech degree combined with business. And then essentially through uni, I just kind of like figured out which courses were, you know, working and which weren't. But all through that time, I was kind of like, now I just felt like I don't really know exactly what I'm going to be, you know, doing with my career. And eventually I ended up just doing quite well, I guess, in the accounting subjects. So ultimately I finished with that. But if I'm going to be completely honest, it wasn't like a thing where I was like, oh, I'm called to do this, or this right. is the will of God, or this is what I know I'm supposed to do with my career. I just kind of followed the process essentially,
yeah.
and then ended up finishing off with that. And then I just went straight into that field. But after finishing uni, I then on the side was still really passionate about fashion. I think everyone knew that I was really passionate about fashion and also dance as well. Those were actually what people would know me for if like outside of work. So anyone that knew me would know that I was a dancer and that I was really into fashion.
Yeah.
So afterwards,
you're my dancing accountant, aren't you?
Yeah. It was, and I think it was also such like an unfamiliar thing to have someone that was like interested in both those worlds, because they're so different. Like sure. we'd even go to like, we'd be at practice, for example, in the church, like dance team, and the dancers would all come in and they like have day jobs and they're just like, oh, this is horrible. Like as a creative being stuck there. And I was actually like, I actually don't really mind the structure of the office, you know? And so people would be so confused, like, how can you like love and be so passionate about dance and creativity,
yeah.
but also be not feel confined in like an office accounting structured world?
Sure.
So yeah, it is an interesting combo. So yeah, I guess, yeah, so after all that, I ended up going down the path of doing a fashion diploma. So I ended up going and doing that on the side while I was starting out in my first kind of grad accounting role. And then I ended up just doing like kind of side gigs, like making clothes on the side, like custom clothes on the side. This is like early on in my like accounting career.
Okay.
So I actually kind of pursued the two in a sense. And then I got to a point, and actually, because we touched on this before, like just thinking about the will of God and should I go overseas? Should I do this? Should I do that? Like in our decisions, I actually came to a point in my career. I was working as an accountant now for about probably 5 years. I'd mm-hmm. always had it on my heart to move abroad, but I'd never done it. I kept like making excuses. Like I at first wanted to go straight out of uni, start out of high school, sorry, and go study abroad. And then I was okay. like, oh no, I'll go to uni first, get a qualification, and then I'll go abroad. And then it got to a point just before I ended up moving actually to the UK that I had gone into the office and I was just like really flat. And my manager at the time, I was really close with her, and she knew a lot about my personal life. So she knew I really was passionate about fashion and wanting to move overseas. And she's like, oh, Toyin, what's going on? And I was just like, I don't know. I just always felt that like I had, because by this point as well, God had given me clear vision about like different things I felt like I was meant to be doing with my life. And I just felt like I wasn't really doing those things.
Okay.
And I felt like part of it was like also like moving abroad and doing something different with my career. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Like, and so she basically was probably the catalyst to me to actually really think about like starting to take steps in the directions that I felt like God had kind of spoken to me a long time ago about. So she really encouraged me. She was like, look, I feel like you should just go for it. If you really feel it's on your heart to go overseas, you know, you should do it. It's like, it's, you know, what's there to lose? You know, you should at least just go and do it. And she was like, and the last bit of advice she gave me was like, but make sure that you get into fashion when you're there, which is really funny now in hindsight, because I'm not in fashion. But that's how much at the time I think it was such a pressing thing.
Sure.
And that's such a big passion that I felt like this is the path I was called to go down. But again, I guess as things were happening, and it kind of keeps going back to the reoccurring theme of just walking through the open doors, as I started to explore the opportunities overseas, a lot of the opportunities coming up were all around finance and accounting. And I was just like, okay, well, maybe I just start with that. You know, like if that's the door that God's opening, I'll just start with that and we'll see, you know, what happens.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's how I kind of ended up moving over to the UK, getting into finance. And at the time, I will also add that I actually hated accounting so much at that point.
But you made a career out of it.
But I'd made a career out of it. And so like when I was looking at the, you know, opportunities, like when I was moving, I was kind of like, oh, I don't really want to get stuck in this accounting thing again, you know, but, you know, we'll see what God says about this. So anyway, I ended up moving. And weirdly, I felt like from that point onwards, that's when actually my love, I guess, for accounting and finance actually started to grow. And I started seeing the usefulness of it a lot more. And I started seeing, I guess, how it could play in to, I guess, the original vision that God had given me many years ago. So I think that's when there started to be a bit more of a shift in the dragging and kicking and screaming of God just pulling me through kind of started slowing down a bit. So, yeah, that's kind of led us, I guess, to today.
Yeah.
We're here in London and very much in the finance world as part of as my vocation. Mm. But interestingly, outside of work, I'm still involved in fashion, but it's not like a primary It's not like the primary thing that I do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yet, right? You never know. It might shift a gear and you might pivot again, right?
Yeah. And that's, I think, something that I do love about just about God and essentially the will is I feel like the will of God can kind of His ultimate will obviously never changes, but I guess like in terms of like plans and like specific plans, I feel like they can change and it's very exciting. Mm. Like it starts to kind of like, I don't know, you start to see it all come to fruition in different ways to maybe what you expected, because I think sometimes I often find with myself anyway that like you'll think about it in one way, like this is the way it should happen. But realistically, I'm not God, so how do I know this is exactly the way that it's supposed to happen? I have to be open to His leading and His prompting. And so I think that's one thing that I try my best. It's always a struggle, but I always do try my best to kind of be like, okay, I'm going to try not to over plan things. We were talking about this earlier, just before, but try not to overly, you know, control things in my own strength, but actually leave room for God to actually do His will and let Him bring the plan to life.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. And I think that's what we're really excited to share, you know, for this season, is that we are going to be speaking to some really close friends and people who have navigated that, because this season is going to be the focus around the will of God, purpose, calling, how have they navigated that? Mm. And we've had some amazing conversations and they've been quite varied, but there has been this theme though, I think, that we've seen with some of the conversations that we've had, that actually it's still all come together, even, you know, our own personal passions and interests and the deep longings or desires of our heart, with time there have been opportunities where God has brought that all together. You know, I don't want to kind of share too much of upcoming episodes, and you know, so do listen ahead when we release those. But I think when you were talking about your journey, and I've been reflecting a little bit about my own, and I was thinking, you know, for me, I just remember at 16 thinking I just want to retire at 30. Yeah. That was my goal, effectively. Yeah. You know, there were no specifics as to how I was going to do that, but I just always thought I always was motivated and I always pursued success. And success was very kind of monetary for me. That's the value that I placed on it, you know, being, you know, first generation immigrant, seeing your parents work really hard and everything, the motivation is slightly different in the grit there. Yeah. And I remember at 16, a bit like yourself, going for work experience. And at that time, lots of people always said to me, you know, Beulah, you're going to be a lawyer. You've got the gift of the gab. you know, you just, you know, you're always argumentative and all of these things. And I thought, okay, actually, law, maybe it's not a bad thing. Because again, right, culturally, you get the options are be a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer and an accountant. Those are the four options your parents give you. So I think, okay, well, one of the four I'm going to do, perfect. Went to go and do work experience and, oh, my gosh, it was so boring. And I thought, I mean, it could have been that I was in, it was in an immigration law and things like that, but I just thought, oh, my gosh, like, is this what I'm going to spend the next 30, 40 years of my life doing? And I thought, no, law isn't for me. Yeah. And then I ended up at A-levels picking up like politics and economics and really enjoying like, like just like global, international news and do you know what I mean? Like current affairs and stuff. And that really kind of started stirring something in me. And I thought, okay, do you know what? I'll be a journalist. And so then I put all my focus. Yeah, I put all my focus and my priority into doing English Lit because that was another one of my strengths. I just felt very comfortable, very confident. That was my highest grades that I was getting throughout. And that was another thing that people kept saying to me, oh, Beulah, you're a really good writer. You're really articulate. And so I thought, yeah, this is what my strengths are. I'll do English literature at university and then I'll go and be a journalist for only for me to get like my worst A-level grade in English literature. And I thought, my gosh, what is going on? Like, this is what I'm supposed to do my degree in. And it's the worst grade that I've got. And then I ended up going to university and doing economics and politics. And I thought, what? You know, like, where is this? Like, how is this happening? What's going on? I mean, it was just, it was the most strangest time of my life then. So then did my degree and everything, left, and then just kind of fell into the world of fundraising and business development and the third sector and everything. And then fast forward about 10 years on, and I thought to myself, do you know what? I have an economics degree. Like, what am I doing in the charity sector? It's, I'm not passionate about it. It's not, you know, I just didn't feel like writing bids and fundraising was my, not necessarily a calling, but I just didn't feel motivated by it. And I thought, you know, I want to get back into the world of finance. And I've always been interested in property. You always watch, you know, Homes Under the Hammer and people doing up houses and selling them off and things like that. And I thought, oh, why don't I become a mortgage advisor? I love talking to people. And it's like, you know, that's where I'm at now. And had somebody said to me, you know, Beulah, you're going to be in the world of finance, I would have said no. No, I'm not. You know, in personal finance, no, I'm not. So I do think it's really interesting that actually there are desires and dreams and passions that you never ignore. They're never ignored or they're never lost. But time and providence has a way of allowing that to, I guess, develop and form in a tangible way that, I still don't feel that I'm done, because another big part of me, I think it's very similar to you, is being self-employed and building something and, you know, going down the route of business and entrepreneurialism and what does that look like, and, you know, and especially in this day and age when everyone's got a side hustle and And I think that's what I've slowly become to realise, that actually there isn't just one will. Like the will of God, absolutely, at a high level, at a top level, is that, you know, everyone would come to know him as the one true God, right? And that his gospel would go far and wide. And his will is that, you know, people would know truth and people would, you know, nations and people groups and generations would be known by him and would know him and pursue him. That is the kind of the high end, top level of what God's will is for our lives. But on an individual level, I think that is quite fluid. And I think God in his grace isn't just saying, it's just that one will and then that's it. Go find that or live that out. We are human beings that evolve and are exposed to different opportunities and experiences, and God flows with us, I guess.
So
that's my journey up until this point, and you know, I've definitely learnt lots about you. I had no idea about the doctor thing, so I can't get the image of you in a netball outfit and a doctor's lab coat out of my head now. So
I did actually have a question for you.
Just like
when we think about the journey and stuff, and you know, sometimes like when you know you're following in the will of God, or you feel like you've walked through the open doors or things like that, and then you start to have some challenges along the way, like sometimes I feel like, for me anyway, I feel like it can be quite challenging to kind of know, like, is this just a challenge and requires, you know, endurance and just to trust God and get back up? Or is he actually trying to redirect me to another path? Especially when we're talking in the contents of, in the world of careers and industry and, you know, what we're supposed to be doing and vocation. In that sense, what's been your experience around that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the devotional that you were sharing earlier about, you know, that I do agree in the sense that I think there are some hard no's with God. And so, you know, for my life, there was no way that I could do English literature at university with the A-level grades that I got. There was no two ways about it. You know, I lost my university position, and that was a very clear, firm door shut. Yeah. We're not pursuing this, and there's no argument about it. But what is interesting is that, you know, my passion for writing and reading, I have in the last few years felt God bringing that back to the surface, which has been quite a challenge, I have to confess, personally, because I'm like, God, why are you asking me to do this when I've got trauma in this area and I didn't do so well? So why would you take me back to something that's not clearly wasn't my strength? But I think sometimes, you know, as Christians, as I guess as individuals, we can become almost too self-reliant on our own natural abilities and our natural talents and skill sets, that sometimes it can then feel that we've taken God out of the equation. And I don't want anybody, you know, like coming at me saying, so does God allow bad things to happen, you know, so that you end up, you know, being dependent on him? Absolutely not. You know, we live in a world where things just happen. But I do take great comfort in knowing that actually I trust God with my life and with everything that he's going to do. And if a door does close, if an opportunity doesn't come forth or isn't quick or in my own timings, that actually he's got me.
You
know, and I personally am a big fan of, you know, studying the life of so many people in the Bible. So you take someone like Joseph, for example, brilliant story, and we hear it all the time. You know, God gives him a vision, he gives him a dream, but it's a very big picture dream, right? Big picture vision. And he doesn't know the specifics, but in his own very erroneous ways, he's very arrogant and puffed up about what he thinks is going to happen, that, you know, his people are going to bow down to him, people are going to serve him. And he's got this kind of prideful approach to something that God has graciously revealed to him about what purpose his life is going to entail. But he had no idea, right, over the next 17 years, what that would look like. He had no idea that that would land him in prison. It had no idea that he would be a slave. It had no idea that he would be serving and interpreting dreams. Like he had no idea. He just saw the end product, which was people bowing down to him. And I think oftentimes those of us where God has spoken to us and God has revealed through dreams, visions, or prophecy, sometimes we can mistakenly fill the gaps with our own thinking or our own hopes or what we want it to be, and actually don't give space for God to flesh that out. That actually, hold on, if he has already shown us the end goal, surely he's already thought about the details in between, and we don't want to give him the details to outwork in our lives. We want to be the master of that. But we're gunning for that end goal, right? That he's shown us, that whether it is, but I know that God has called me to be a businesswoman, or God has called me to be a politician, or whatever it is God has called you to be. You know, we grab so tight, hold so tightly onto the big picture, the end goal, but we don't grab tightly or hold tightly to the God that has set that for you, and then say, okay, well, how are we doing this? You know, so I guess in a roundabout way, I probably have answered that question in one part, but how would you know if it's a challenge just to persevere, and, you know, it's a learning opportunity versus definitely a firm door shut? Is, for me, there are moments where it's very clear that the door has shut. But in other seasons of my life, and not necessarily specifically related to me, I have seen doors shut, but other roads appear. As then that is where I feel like, oh God, okay, maybe, as you said, right, and as our senior pastor has shared, that, okay, actually, hold on, there's a clearing taking place in this particular area or this particular route. Okay, well, let's go down there then, if this door has shut. And that's what I have. Very rarely have I ever been without a direction from God, even if it's not a direction that I necessarily want or agree with. But very rarely has there been complete. If I'm honest about it, the question is whether I wanted to see it or wanted to obey it. Whether I wanted to surrender to it. But there has always been another route, another path, another door, another opportunity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I do hear you completely on that. And again, just going back to some of like my devotionals on this topic, another one, another devotional was kind of talking about how God, he doesn't want to keep his will a secret. Like he doesn't want to make it like a difficult thing where we're like, what is it? Like it's a trick question kind of thing. It's not about that. He's open about his will. And often it's just like, we really need to be the ones to open up, to actually be open to hear what he's saying and to follow in his leading. But he always wants to guide us. Like that's his, you know, what he wants to do for us individually in our lives. It's not something that we should, you know, feel like he's trying to trick us.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is scary. It is, you know, the unknown. You know, I've had so many conversations with people, you know, like, for example, going back to my friend of ours, you know, who all will get on the podcast, you know, wanting to be a lawyer straight away. But, you know, funny enough, even her life, and she'll explain it and articulate it brilliantly, like, although she knew that she was going to be a lawyer, and that's what God had called her to, or that's what she really felt, that's what she was going to do, you know, her journey there wasn't straightforward, because she didn't get the best kind of degree, in the sense of, you know, because law is uber competitive, and it's, you know, first class, and, you know, to be able to get a training contract, and if you're going to the magic circle firms, etc. And so she hadn't quite got the result that she wanted at university, and then she found, you know, herself quite a struggle to try and get a training contract. So her journey was incredibly difficult. But where she is now, you know, 20 years on, she is still a lawyer. She runs her own, you know, global company, you know, dealing in white collar crime and everything. So she clearly, that word of God that had been given to her from a young age was so crystal clear to her that she could hold on to that despite the delays and the opposition and the setbacks that she faced along the way. And I think that's probably where you really need to press into God to be able to, you know, sieve out, is this me? You know, is this a me word? Is this a me want? Is this a me desire? Or is this really from you? Because the Bible, you know, says very clearly, right, in Psalms 37, that he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I just don't believe, and I'm convinced by this, that God is not a mean, cruel God, in the sense that he wouldn't give you desires that then he chooses not to fulfill. Does that make sense? But I don't have a desire to be in the fashion world. I can appreciate it. You know, and I'm funding my French husband's passion for fashion. But, you know, I can appreciate it. But there is definitely never in my life have I had a desire to be in the world of fashion. That is just not the way that God has made me. And so I just don't think that God would make you so intricately have these passions and desires, but then not be faithful to bring that to pass in a particular format, job, opportunity, partnership, whatever that looks like. That he would not bring that into a tangible reality for you.
I definitely agree with that. Because I would honestly say that with everything I felt like was like a passion that God had given me, I've always, even if it's not like my primary vocation, there's always been loads of opportunities outside of it to do really amazing things, really, that only God can really set up. And I think he allows space for that, and he gives you those desires for a reason, really.
Absolutely.
I was actually just thinking as well just now that, you know, when we're talking about like potentially having challenges along the way, like your friend who, you know, just had very clear vision that this is the specific vocation I should be doing. So like you can hold on to that word then through the challenging times and go back to that. But often I was thinking about this, I think, I don't know if this has happened for anyone else, but I feel like sometimes in life we can sometimes feel like the things that we're naturally good at, and maybe this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But would love to hear your thoughts around this. But sometimes, you know, the things that we might not be as naturally good at maybe could potentially be, you know, part of things that God really wants us to step into and starts opening doors for, which can also be quite scary. And I'm thinking of like the story of like Moses, for example, and he was called to go and speak, and he was like, "Oh my, I'm a stammerer," and then God was like, "Who made your mouth? Like, why are you telling me your problems when I'm telling you that you know, I'm with you to do this?" So, like for him, potentially being someone who was maybe articulate or speaking and all that kind of stuff was maybe not his, you know, natural gifting, but it ended up being something that was a huge part of his like essentially calling or something. So I was wanting to hear, I guess, your thoughts around that kind of topic, because it's something I was just thinking of as we were discussing, because it's like certain things, because I've also had moments like that where I'm like, oh, this isn't the thing I'm the best at, like certain things that come really easily to me, or like dance, for example, things like that, certain aspects of that came easily to me, whereas sometimes when I was in my career in finance, I actually did find it really challenging. And I'm just like, this is hard. Like, is this for me? Like, you know, but it does, I've found that it doesn't necessarily mean this is not the will of God for you just because it's not your, you know, your best thing that you're the best at.
I mean, I think it's interesting because I think, you know, sometimes There might be instances in life where you're just doing something because the bills need to be paid. Do you know what I mean? And that's the reality. I mean, you know, we've all taken jobs and opportunities, and we'll take jobs and opportunities where it's just, you know, practically that's the right thing to do. And that there's grace in that for us to do that for a period of time. But I do think it comes down to being so close to God and walking with God in such a way that, because lots of people, and this is a probably a topic that we'll bring up at some point, which is, you know, like, how do you hear the voice of God? And, you know, like, how do you decipher between, is this Toyin making these decisions? Is it Beulah making these decisions? Or is it God actually telling me to make these decisions? But I think, as you said about Moses, what's really interesting is right from the outset, you know, his life was set apart. His journey along, you know, the River Nile led him into Egypt. And so I think that's what I take encouragement from, is that actually what was 40 years ago, Moses growing up in the Egyptian palace, he has knowledge like nobody else before in terms of customs and practices and how it would have worked in Egypt at that time. And although he wasn't called to necessarily be the next pharaoh of Egypt and then let the people go, I always do believe that every experience, every skill, every talent, every just all of what we are is called, like it's knitted together, like intentionally by God for different seasons of our lives, you know. And so I think that's the, I think I would just encourage people to be, you know, pursue your passions, you know. Some people are right from the outset, you know, they're going to be a footballer, you just know that that's their calling, you know. But other things come with hard work, other things come with trial and failure and let's go again. I don't know if we've just made it more confusing for our listeners. Thinking, okay, well, Tori and Beulah, you haven't actually told me, how do I know the will of God? Well, do you know how you know the will of God is by walking with God. Right, absolutely. So that's what we would, between us, say, like, let go of trying to ask God, what is your will for my life and all of those things, and just actually use your time, use all of your being to just know God. You know, and as you know God, things just become that little bit clearer, little by little.
Absolutely. I think I've heard someone say, a preacher, I think, say before as well, it's that as you grow closer to God, then you even desire things that he desires. You become more like him, that your will, your self-will will align with the will of God naturally, because you've put, you know, the priority as like getting to know God. So that's a big one. Another thing, just a couple of questions that I'd read before about the will of God, about how to know, I guess, if this is the will of God, just some basic kind of questions to ask yourself. And not saying this is the be and all end all, it's just something that I read in some of the research around this topic. But yeah, one preacher was talking about a few questions, that you can pray and carefully ask God about. But the first one is it consistent with the word of God? Is this a wise decision? Can I honestly ask God to enable me to achieve this goal? Do I have genuine peace about this path? Which I would pause on that one and say, this is probably one I feel personally, that a way in which I really hear from God. And I think it's learning to be discerning to the way God, that you hear from God, you know. And I've always found that personally, I think that's been really helpful for me, is that like every time things have turned sour in the aftermath, when I look back and reflect, I would have noticed that like I was really unsettled about the decision beforehand. And I because I feel like I'm naturally like an anxious person, sometimes I push it aside because I'm like, I'm just anxious about everything, you know? And so I didn't really listen to that. But then I kind of have found over the last few years that often when it is the will of God, I just have strong peace, even if it's like a crazy decision. Yeah. Like even during COVID, like making decisions about career and whether what to do in terms of like stay in the UK and potentially get stuck or go to Australia, just things like that, like big kind of wild decisions, I felt really strong peace about something that I wouldn't naturally feel peace about because I know I'm an anxious person. So I think that's a one that I felt was like really key for me personally. But he had three more.
Yeah.
As well, he said, is this decision appropriate for who I am as a follower of Christ? Does this fit God's overall plan for my life? And will this decision honor God? So just some, I guess, questions to like think and pray about, I guess, when we are trying to be discerning of what the will of God is.
Yeah, and these are the questions that we're asking our guests, right, in future episodes. That, you know, you'll hear stories about people in industries and taking up roles that we may on the outside think, really, can Christians do that? You know, are Christians allowed to do that type of jobs or get involved in that kind of thing? And then, you know, we don't have all the answers. Yeah. And we're not saying that the answers or the experiences that we're sharing through our guests are the right answers, but it's just how they're navigating, you know, this journey of faith alongside with their career and what they consider to be what God has called them to do and to the industries and the spheres that they have been called into. So that's what we're really excited about sharing. But I think just going back to your list of things that our listeners, you know, potentially can use as a toolkit when it comes to those kind of crossroad decision points in their lives, I think the first one is absolutely true, right? Does it align, you know, with the word of God? And, you know, the word of God, you know, yes, okay, people can say it can be interpreted and, you know, people have a different understanding and people can skewer it. But ultimately, you know, it's very clear, you know, what is required of us as Christians, as believers. And if it's so contrary to what the word of God is saying, then I think that's quite an easy way to navigate life. Like if you don't feel that you hear from God in an audible way, you will hear from him if you read his word. And I think peace is a big, big one. Another great topic that we've just got to thrash out between us in another conversation. And with some future guests. So I'm excited about that. But I think just to wrap up this conversation, because we could talk for hours, Toyin, on this. And, you know, there are so many questions, you know, that we've had, even when we were, you know, brainstorming and prepping for this. You know, some of the questions like, are there multiple wills of God? Can only Christians be in the will of God? You know, there's so many questions that we're going to park that, and we've got some exciting guests joining us to help us unpick those questions. So we won't delve in any further in that area. But I guess in closing, I just want to go back to Natalie Grant in the book, in Relentless Pursuit. You know, what she was basically summarising is that, you know, as long as we are doing the things God instructs us to do in his word, then we get to do what we want. And she said, as we do, we all love the scripture. And she quotes, you know, Psalms 37:4, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I think both of us would echo her advice, which is, you know, pick a career you want, enjoy a pastime and a hobby that you love. And remember that being in God's will isn't a magic potion. And it isn't about getting every decision right. It's about having our heart right. And because when our hearts are right with him, we'll make decisions that will be in line with his heart and his will for our life. So I think that really summarizes, I think, both of where we're coming from and what we agree with. And please don't take this as like this sounds like a cop out, but we do genuinely really believe that there is great truth in this. And, you know, the Bible tells us to seek first his kingdom. And when we do, we can have the assurance that nobody and nothing can thwart God's plans for our lives. And, you know, he has a purpose for each and every one of us, and he will work every piece of our lives together for our good. And our God, our job really is just to trust him. And that's a big word and another big topic, but trust. Anything else you'd like to add, babe, before we close out?
Yeah, I guess probably one scripture as well, just to end with, that really has encouraged me is Romans 12:2. And it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." And I think that's so beautiful, because it basically is telling you that God's will for you, it is good. It is acceptable to you as well, and it is perfect. And so I think we can rest assured in that, that God, that's God's plan for us. That is his will for us.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was just one that really encourages me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Personally, in my walk.
Absolutely. So, and what we're going to do is, you know, both of us we have been busy and we enjoy it. We haven't done it just for the podcast, but we enjoy reading lots of materials and devotionals and accessing other people's thoughts and their journey. So, you know, at the bottom of the episode, you'll find some of our suggestive reading, you know, lists of things, books that we've read and blogs that we follow and articles that we found useful in navigating this particular topic. So if you want more information, you know, please do have a look at some of the resources that we think are helpful and have been helpful to us. And on that note, we've got to say goodbye.
It's a wrap.